Games, where we create the latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your households. I am your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
What's up? What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Just...
That was to the audience.
Oh. What's up, audience? Are you guys not up to a whole lot?
How are you doing, too?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I figured that you were talking to me because usually the audience doesn't respond. If we did get a response, I would probably have to shut this computer down because it probably means that it was cursed or something like that.
Yeah, or the audience is apt in spyware or... Are Trojans still a thing? Or are they like... still a word?
Well, I think so. Yeah, so I think just Trojan just describes the kind of virus that there is. Like, there is spyware as a virus, but a Trojan is specifically a virus that sneaks in pretending to be something else. Like, how you'll get advertised something to be like, this is the best anti-spyware, when it is actually, in fact, spyware. I think Trojan just describes the... What kind it is. And so long as there are elderly folks clicking on that stuff, there will still be Trojans around.
and that's the thing that, like, it makes sense that, like, they would be called Trojans, obviously, because, you know, Trojan horse, it was a gift, and then it was a trap and stuff like that. I'm just surprised that, like, there are so
many. Oh, I thought it was referencing the condom.
Because you think it's safe,
all,
but it's not.
It's all wrapped up.
Oh,
I don't know. Anyways, yes, it is probably about the horsey, but we don't know. We don't know. Anyways, go
we don't
on
know
with
that,
what
yeah.
you're saying.
I was just going to say, like, I'm surprised that we don't have more more phrases or more, what am I trying to say? I guess equals or more kinds of spyware or malware, like a vampire. You know, you have to invite them into your home in order to, get in there. But I guess that would denote not like coming in and breaking things, but like more of like sucking life force off of your computer.
I mean, with that reference, yeah, vampire does make more sense to call that,
yeah,
like that instead of a Trojan. But you know, you gotta give credit to where credit's due. Like, Trojans knew how to be, they knew how to sneak in. So until something more sneaky happens, like, I don't know, and call it the Lupin. Because, like, Lupin the Third, or something of that nature, like a little thief. But then again, that's still, like, not as great as calling it a Trojan.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what I'm really going for here is I think that there should be more current references to versions of spyware and malware and stuff. Like Trojans, I mean, I guess people understand that reference. Here we are talking about it right now. But I don't know. It's not... I feel like they could have done a little bit better. So pick up your game, virus creators. You know.
Well, this was also
come up with some better
words. It was named back at a time when, I don't know, people who were really using the computers and stuff were probably, like, you know, really geeky and stuff like that. Because the word Trojan has been around since like the late 90s. So, you know, leave it up to them to call it something. I don't know, from like Greek history.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, that is like how, what is it, internet thieves or whatever rebranded. They're like pirates, you know?
I feel
is a step up from thief.
Yeah. No, that's true. That is a rebranding. I don't know what else you could call it, like a techno stealer.
I mean, maybe like, you know, with like Pirate Bay, they like take movies and stuff and distribute it to the masses. So like, I don't know, like a Robin Hood or like a, I don't know.
Yeah, the crypto people, they got on that. They're now Robin Hood. So Pirate Bay is a little too late.
Yeah, yeah. We'll step into that space. Yeah, we'll come up with some rebranding for you all. You got to tweet at us first, and then we'll. But don't tweet any malware because I won't click it. I promise.
I remember like learning about all this stuff like way back when we had like, you know, our mom and dad's computer with a Windows 98 and
internet safety and stuff like that.
Yeah. I wonder what those videos are like nowadays, to be honest, or like what the education is, because now there's so many things that could just give you a virus or I don't know. Do you think it's actually safer, easier, or harder to get a virus now with, like, now the computers have, like, a built-in process of, like, kind of, like, protection alone?
I think...
How fast do you think you could corrupt your computer? Because back in the day, it was pretty easy to do that just by going on LimeWire and downloading, like, one file that you thought was Fatboy Slim.
Yeah, yeah.
And then immediately getting... Remember that one that it was just, like, a window that would bounce around and tell you that you're an idiot? And then you try to click away.
And it would just duplicate itself like multiple times. You can never it had I don't know what it was, but yeah, it had something in there that it would avoid the mouse, like it would move away from it.
Yeah, pretty smart virus.
To be quite frank, I'm kind of convinced now that, you remember those little like Windows games or Windows, I guess, apps that you would like have a little sheep that would run around the screen?
Yeah.
And he would like poke his head while you were like,
stuff?
Yeah, there was like a dog. I think those were just viruses. Those were just repurposed viruses. Someone just
probably, it was probably stealing some sort of information when we weren't
looking. A more benevolent virus.
So we know, but we don't know what the heck was going on behind the curtain. When that sheep would go behind the Windows hills and that green lush hill or whatever, we don't know what he's
actually
doing.
Don't you remember the sheep would like, at least I mean, who knows, maybe I'm just like imagining this now, but I don't, you remember that, like, wouldn't they like jump into like a file folder if you had like something on your desktop, like the animation would have it go in?
Was
a very playful way of them just, bye, it's me. Tell me your social security, kids. Like, I don't know.
I mean, that is the easiest way to... Yeah, if you make it fun and cool and exciting, like, yeah, of course I'm going to download it. It's, like, basically a Pokemon, but it lives on my computer.
Yeah, and it interrupts my homework. So, I mean, that's fun and funny.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
That's a pretty neat thing.
All right, last story, and then we can get into the actual making of the podcast. But I actually had a friend tell me once that they were on their mom's computer, and they, like... didn't really know what they were doing, and they were trying to like download a mod for like a game or something like that, you know, back when mods you had to like really dig in to like find them.
Yeah.
And I think obviously it was like a joke from undoubtedly someone older, but it was saying that in order to download it you had to like uninstall like different drivers and stuff on the computer. And I guess he uninstalled a lot of like basically like just like the Windows OS and like a bunch of like really important things that make it so that obviously everything communicates with
and
the
like actually
board.
Operate
yeah actually operate and like work and stuff, and he said it did not go well for him that day, so
That used to be a huge thing with, like, you ask for advice in World of Warcraft, and you're like, how do I do something? And then you get the first response in chat would be like, Alt F4.
Yeah, Alt F4, baby.
And then you do like a search for that person who was giving the advice, and they're just, like, logged off. You're like, sick.
Yeah.
Nice.
Got him. Trustworthy.
Yep. Those were the good old days of asking strangers for help.
Mm-hmm. All right. To jump into things and officially put a brand on these beloved, now triple Patch Potch award winning segment. We're gonna patch it up, baby.
You should explain what that means.
Yes. Baby is not in the title. That's just me saying it. But patch it up, where we take a game and that is, it does not require any mending, but we slap our brand on it because we want to get in there and mess things up, but for the better. So we're both going to take a game, add a little bit of flair to it, patch it up, so to speak, and, you know, just get the creative juices flowing.
I apologize for cutting you off. I thought you were just going to say, like, we're going to patch it up, and then, like, continue just, like, naming a game, be like, without explaining anything, what the segment is. It basically, if you remember what we had done from the last two episodes, this actually has an official title. You will always hear patching it up from here on out.
So I like don't have an actual rule for it, but I think that, one, I would like to step into this domain, and two, I think that, you know, it'd be kind of fun to patch up and punch up some kids games and stuff, you know, because I feel like most of the mainstream kids games are so simple, they're so dull that it's like, I don't know, like I feel like children, their intelligence is discredited, and so I think we need to change Guess Who to like a murder mystery, like really punch it up. And not only do you have the people, but they all have different weapons. They have motives, you know, like, oh, is your person a slighted ex? No. And then, you know, you'd have to like find out and go through and figure it out. It's like, oh, is your person an ex junkie? No. Just, well, maybe it depends on how you define it. And, you know, just
there
really
could be
really...
like, oh man, sorry, keep going. But I've got some good ideas for this.
No, go for it. That's basically like the springboard that I'd like to jump off of.
Well, so like you could do like two things with this, where one of them is you actually take photographs of your friends and then you use that as like the faces, and then that's how you describe them. Because when you said like, is it like your ex, then you could actually have like maybe one or a few of your exes in there, and then that would like eliminate those options and be like, okay.
Oh, man.
So like you could do that. Or B is like, yeah, you go the whole like, it's like a criminal like case. Maybe probably not for children, because like I don't know if they should be dealing with like drug dealers and stuff like that. But
okay. Here, wait. Then let me tweak a little bit. What about it's like instead of, you know, a murder, it's like, who stole a cookie from the cookie jar? Is it a ex sugar addict? Is it a cake enthusiast? And, you know, uh-huh. just kind of slightly askew, but it'll be almost like what's it called in like kids shows when there's something for the adults, you know?
Yeah.
But something along those lines, like, you know, adults, y'all know what they're talking about, but it's a little bit more edgy. It gets your brain going a little bit more.
Well, kind of jumping off the tails of our last game, I was thinking that if this was like, if you were doing detective work, you could call the game like Guess Who or You're Fired. And it's all about, like, this is the detective's last case before he gets fired. And if he fails this one, then you're fired, I guess. But that would
guess
be...
Guess who? Because you're 2 days away from retirement.
Yeah, pretty much. That's it. Or you are an action hero and you're fighting 30 mobsters or 30 criminals. And they all quiz you with, like, guess who has your significant other, or else they're going to get it.
Oh, yeah. Or else you're going to get it, wise guy.
Or else
every
it's curtains for you.
Every single picture, they all have, like, a gun pointed out. Whoever's on the... It's pointed at the guesser.
Yeah, it is. That's good. I like that.
It's a very threatening version of Guess Who.
Well, it could be, like, a whole line of these. Why not include all of them? It's like, we call it Guess Who or blank. It's like, Guess Who or else. Guess Who or You're Fired. Guess Who or It's Curtains for Your Significant Other.
Yeah, it'll be like, Guess Who? ? None of your business. That's who. And then, you know.
And they slam the door on you.
Yeah. And in fact, that's what it is. You have the tiles have a little bit more weight on that version, so you can really slam it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even maybe you get a little tiny gun that's got like a little tiny like airsoft thing, and yeah, you can like shoot the guys down for when you don't think it's them. But if you accidentally shoot the wrong one, then that's
it. Oh man. Now it's like a game of like, yeah, I was gonna say it's a game of like accuracy. We're adding a little bit of that like physical component in there. Oh man. You know, you're welcome, Guess Who. I'll say it right now. You're welcome. We patched this game up.
Patched
you thought it couldn't
right
get better? Up. Yeah. You're welcome.
Well, so right. I was thinking about this. Oh, do I come up with a game, or was that an all right to move on to the next thing?
Oh no. Well, I was an all right, like moving on. Yeah, to your thing. I'm sorry, I stepped on your metaphorical feet. Your words.
No, that's
feet.
Okay. I've been doing that to you basically for the last 15 minutes, so it feels like it's only fair. So yeah, apology accepted. Anyways, yeah, I'm new to this segment myself, so let's. I had an idea, and it started out as a video game patch where when you play The Sims, you know, it's like almost real life. There's a lot of key components that are fairly similar to how we live our normal lives, but I was thinking of adding a component to it where if your Sim went out to the club, or if they went out to, maybe if they just went out to eat, they need to eat some Tums immediately afterwards. If they're trying to go to bed, they need to take a melatonin. It's basically an additional version of The Sims that makes you live like a millennial, where every single time that they go grocery shopping, you have to take that paper or plastic bag and put it underneath your kitchen sink. And if they don't have a kitchen sink, then they just go mad. But so the way that we could add this onto a different game is the game of life. where every single one of the things that happens to you has to be remedied by some sort of neurotic impulse to, I don't know. There's like one action to something, and then there's something that you have no control of that your character just has to do in order to like move on with the game.
I was just gonna say, instead of just kids getting added, you could, like, you know how like when you like pass a certain spot and it's like, oh, you have a daughter now or like a son or whatever, and you put another like little peg in the car, it's like, oh, you've accumulated student loan debt. You have crippling debt. Put a big peg in the car.
Oh, that's a good idea. They should do that. That should definitely be a thing where there's like, it's not just like family members, but it's also like whatever baggage, like emotional or financial, that baggage is just attached to your car. Yeah. Now this memory is going to haunt with you forever. Like, you did something embarrassing back in high school, like, that's staying in the car forever.
Yeah. You did something embarrassing in high school? Prepare to relive it in therapy.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I love that idea. And so, like, I mean, and then in addition to it being, like, millennial version, it's like, if you fill up the pegs with, like, all too much stuff, then you just, like, have no room for kids. And, like, by the time that you get to any sort of reasonable, like, adult age to, like, well, okay, that's not to say, you can have kids whenever you want to have kids. I'll just say that. I don't care when it happens, but...
We'll call it a stereotypical age. A general age at which society typically has them.
Yes, yeah. I will say that there is a far more likely chance that all of those spots in your car get filled up with some sort of baggage before you even get, like, married, and, like, you just, like, don't have the option to have kids. And, like, if you do manage to, like, have one spot in the car for you and your significant other, like, maybe you can have, like, one child, and that's, like, the millennial version of this game.
And that's the other, like, real, or at least, like, we should add more, like, realistic thing, is that when, you know, when you get married or have a spouse or whatever, they don't just come into your life, like, no baggage or whatever. They have their own stuff. And so
that's
you
true.
You not only get an extra peg from that, but maybe, like, there's, yeah, like, a randomization of different other pegs. It's like, oh, okay, like, yeah, like, you know, my spouse, like, you know, they struggle with anxiety. So there we go, adding that peg into the car.
Yeah, and while we're on top of it, while we're talking about it, if you're playing this in a big city, you think you get a car? You think you're gonna have the ability to buy a car? Please, you're gonna have to take the subway. You're gonna have to get a bike. You don't get a car.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so I know in life, like, you roll like whatever job you have.
It's the spinner. Oh no, wait. Do you roll that, or are there dice?
Well, I know you get it. So like the first part of life is like it's like education and then like college, blah blah blah, and then you like, yeah, you like,
oh no,
like,
you're right,
job you have.
Well, you can choose to, I mean, can't you make the choice to like live your college years and then you can also just start from the get-go being an adult or something. I haven't played Life in ages, so
if you land on a specific spot, then I think yes, you go back for like extra school or whatever, but
I thought there was, like, when you start the game, there's actually two paths at the beginning, and one of them is college, and it's, like, a really short path, and then one of them is, like, it's just, like, adulthood, like, you just start as an adult, and, like, if you choose to go, and they both lead to the same place, where you get, like, your car or whatever, and get married, but, like, you don't have to, like, go to college, or, like, I thought that's how it was.
Basically, what I think we're getting at here is that, obviously, since, you know, real life is complicated, I think we're just really trying to get in there and add, you know, like, 12, 20, 47 different paths to life. This is a multi-branch game.
Yeah.
That depending on where you land and depending on what cards you have, you know, I mean, life is messy, so we're just really going to muck this game up. But, you know, it's more realistic then.
Sometimes you go through life and you make a bunch of choices, and then you realize that you don't like the career that you picked out, and you actually go back to college.
Exactly.
You're much older, much wiser, know how to use your free time much more effectively than, you know, just drinking all day.
I think we could even have more iterations too. Like, it could be like, you know, like sci-fi life. It's like at the end of the cycle, you're like, I've done it. I've created my cloning tank, and now I get to go again. You know,
yeah, that'd be great.
Sci-fi life. I mean, we can make like prehistoric life, but that one probably has lots of dead ends of just like smashed by rock, froze to death.
Oh, I was just thinking. Well, I was thinking of prehistoric life as well, but I was going back even further, where like the start of the game, like, you're in the primordial soup, and then as soon as you turn into the one fish with legs,
yeah,
then you can start walking around on the land.
So every square in that version of life is like, I don't know, 20,000 years or something like that, as you skip around.
Yeah,
towards...
it would have to be that, yeah.
Yeah. You basically, yeah, you create life in a society. Like, maybe in this version of life, instead of, you know, primates becoming the predominant species, or the dominant species, I guess, on the world. It's like, I did it. I made lizard men this time. Here we go.
We call it Life Classic, because it's the first life.
Yeah. Life Prometheus.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Well, these are all good ideas. I'm glad that we were able to fix up the incredibly boring game of life.
Yeah. Well, now I guess we're going to make another... we're going to make a new game now, because that's what we do here. Is we're a board game podcast, as you hopefully have guessed by now, with our amazing additions to other games. But now we're going to come up with a completely new one. So check this out.
Buckle up.
Yeah, buckle up. Strap in and get your strap on and...
Back to the Trojans.
Yeah. This you know, this episode has some adult themes. I'm just going to go out and say it.
Yeah, we've said two adult things, so there may be more to come. We probably maybe should have said it at the beginning of the episode, but at this point, now you know.
Yeah.
There's some adult themes.
Yeah.
Well, my idea is actually kind of carrying off of it. If you have anything, more than happy to hear you out.
Go for it.
The only thing that I was able to think of is which alcohol is best. And some sort of alcohol feuding, I don't know, board game that doesn't necessarily have to be like a real life where everybody's drinking in it, but it's something along the lines of like beer versus vodka versus brandy versus, I don't know, it's some sort of game along those lines. It can be like an economy based one. It can be what we had done with that coin one where they're all sentient in some way. I actually don't like the idea of it being centered around an actual drinking game. Although you probably could easily put that in, but it's something along the lines of which alcohol is best, and it's about, I don't know, doing something along the line to see which one can reign supreme.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I mean, so first off, we're just going to come up with this game because, one, I love it, and two,
great.
It will undoubtedly, someone will come up with drinking rules or a variant of this game where you drink alongside it and do that, but we're going to leave that to everybody else. So if we just so happen to come up with rules that lend themselves to that, that's just the way it is. But we're not going to do that for you all. You can do that for yourselves. Immediately, ready? Let me pitch this to you to give it a little bit of a theme.
Go for
it. Instead of like Toy Story rules where the drinks are sentient and you know, walk around and do stuff or whatever, it is warring bars and bartenders and stuff, or maybe they like own the bar or whatever, but to really go all in on like who's the best and who, you know, is like the most supreme or whatever in all of these feats or whatever you're going for, I'm like really digging or thinking of the idea of like Wild West. It's high noon and hops O'Malley and gin and tonic, that's his name,
that's a good name,
you know, standing face to face as the sun is, you know, highest in the sky, and you know they're looking at each other, and then, you know, someone shouts draw and they, you know, blast, and when the dust settles, only one of them is standing.
Well, that's a good idea, because then you can even make it along the lines... Wait, so, actually, quick question before I go into it. Are these actual... They're actual bottles and cans of alcohol?
No, they're people.
They're people.
I just,
okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay.
I just came
up
with names
that...
Yeah. I just came up with names that would lend themselves to, clearly, one is for one alcohol and one is for another.
Well, you could definitely do something along that. And hey, we could even throw in the guess who mechanic of shooting stuff, because I'm imagining some cowboys walking into a rival bar or something like that and shooting bottles off of like the walls and whatnot. So yeah, we'd throw that previous mechanic that we had for that patch it up section and be like, I'm going into your bar and I've got this gun and I'm going to start shooting down your bottles that you got set up.
What about this? To round it out in terms of like mechanics that we're going to try and get, and then we can really start to hammer things out. What if it is a semi like hidden identity game where you don't know which alcohol each person is like trying to represent or make the best or whatever, you know what I mean? Like everyone is randomly assigned whatever alcohol card they're going to get. Like, you know, it'll just say whatever it is on the bottom or on the whatever side is hidden. And then from there, you play the game. And yeah, like, if I am beer or whatever, then we're doing this shootout type thing. I'm trying to guess who you are by, like, blasting down whatever bottles I don't think you are, whatever it is.
Okay. So, I see what you're saying. So...
yeah, like you all don't know who's who. All of the
liquor bottles are set up like basically across from each other, and you're not shooting at like your opponent. You're shooting at the other things, and whoever can shoot down the one that they represent first wins. So if I'm like a bottle of tequila, and you shoot, you're like loading your gun, and you shoot down like beer, you shoot down whiskey, and then you shoot down tequila before I shot down yours, then you win. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but I guess I'm more saying it like this. Okay, ready? Because
yes, maybe.
I can't buckle up. Okay. I think I have a pretty good groundwork of what like how the game would be played, or like what the objectives are and what you're trying to go for.
Okay,
I'm beer, you're vodka. We're playing with someone else who's whiskey and someone else who's wine. Okay. There's multiples of these bottles up on, you know, the quote-unquote board. They would be, like, in the center of the gameplay area. Each one of us would have, you know, our like, gun and bullets or whatever, and maybe, like, between rounds, you could choose to either load your gun, get more bullets, or shoot, or whatever. And okay. The objective is that your bottle is the last one on the board, but obviously you're trying to, you know, go for other people, but not give away your position. So if I go first and I have four bullets with four people in the game, let's say I shoot two wine bottles, a whiskey, and a vodka, everyone's going to be like, oh my God, he's beer. Like, clearly he's beer or whatever. And then I would set myself up as like a target. So this is very much a social interaction game of like being like, okay, I promise guys, I'm not beer. Like, I'll even prove it by like shooting a beer bottle, like bang, done. But maybe that is my undoing. And then you guys are just like, oh, okay, well, sweet. Let's get beer out of here. Like bang, bang, bang. Something along those lines. Obviously that's very like just the groundwork, but I think that's an angle that I would love to go in.
That's a pretty good idea. I think there's a lot that we could sort of do with this. And I'd like to add into that a sort of rolling mechanic that
yes.
You can shoot whenever you want to shoot, but as long as you have the bullets to do that. But if you want to reload, you have to roll the ones that you want to reload. Or I'd like to say you can even restock, which is a separate dice that is maybe like 1 through 3, where there's 2 sides of 1, 2 sides of 2, 2 sides of 3. So it's obviously harder to restock your things than it is to reload your gun, which is going to be a traditional like 1 through 6. So it still gives some options then that, I don't know, maybe there can be like teams or something like that. Like,
wait,
maybe the wines are together on a team. Like, you got a white wine, you got a red wine, you got beer, maybe just like it's just beer, and then like a bunch of other people are on teams that are like, I don't know, it feels like whiskey and bourbon would be on a team, and vodka and tequila, although those are like kind of different. They're kind of, I don't know. Or probably like gin and tequila, you know?
I think I got it.
Go ready? For it.
Okay, so I love the rolling idea, but I think rolling should have to do with shooting, because that's when you make an attempt on someone else's...
You shoot the dice to roll it.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that... Okay, so imagine, yes, the four of us are playing. We all get four cards, so it's going to be 4x4, 16 all together or whatever. Let's say that, like, every spot in the middle, like, that, like, the middle will be, like, I guess if you're rolling, like, two dice, well, I don't know, it'd have to be, like, 16. I don't know. We'll have to come up with some way of, like, the dice or whatever, but what I guess I'm getting at is that certain spots on the board will be harder to shoot overall.
Okay.
And so the beginning of the game is the setup, and, I mean, we can already call it, like, I don't know, like 99 bottles of beer on the wall or something along those lines. But
already a great name. That's already right? A great name.
Everyone has the bottles that they get to place. And you don't know, obviously, who has what. But I also think that in order to mix it up, like, even if I'm beer, we each put, or everyone gets one of, like, a different card. I don't know how you'd make it random, but, like, I would have three beer cards and one vodka, and you would have, like, you know, three vodka cards and one whiskey, something like that. And then we would go one at a time, placing our cards on this grid where we want them to be. Obviously, you want your cards to be as hard to shoot as possible
yeah.
and take the hardest spots, but that also might give away which one you are. And so you need to be kind of strategic and maybe place them, you know, in various spots. And that, after everyone has placed, you flip the cards, you start the game, and that's when everyone can decide, like, okay, I'm going to try and shoot this whiskey bottle or whatever. You roll, and if you nail it, then you nail it. But let's say you're, like, I don't know, off, and, like, there's, like, a on the dice it says, like, left one or whatever. You accidentally shoot the bottle to the left of the whiskey. And so, like, even if that's your bottle, you blast it, and you're like, you know, you have to kind of, like, fan it. You're like, okay, sweet, I got it. Like, yay.
I don't know. I don't know if I like that much chance up for it. Cause,
that's fine.
Because I would rather reward a player. If you're able to shoot a bottle, that's pretty sick, number one. But also, like, you totally earned that if you were able to, like, hit it. And I don't want you to be roll it and be like, dang, I actually shot my own, even though, you know. Because then it's like, if you want to shoot your own and be like, hopefully I roll right, and then you, like, just don't. It's like, that's not good, you know? I was thinking this. How about this instead of for a random element? Is that imagine that this board is actually, it's kind of set up like, what's that? Battleship, where you have, yeah. But there's no ships, like, on a grid that's, like, on the, you know, vertical or horizontal surface. It's just kind of a vertical, more or less, grid. And there's shelves and stuff there. Now, while there are shelves and they're all stocked with different sort of types of alcohol that you will effectively have to shoot off, there's also patrons that come in and sit on a bar stool. And that's a randomly thing. And now you can either get a really short but, like, large patron that blocks a lot of the bottom shelf, or you can get a really tall, slender patron that sits in, like, one of the chairs, and now he's blocking, like, an entire column. So there's, like, a series of chairs or stools, more or less, that patrons will come in and come out, and maybe they take one of your bottles down. Maybe they grab one, but then it gets replaced. So now you've got, like, a new bottle or something like that you need to hit. But basically, it's just, like, a rotating cast of characters that maybe you could roll and be like, here comes a big guy, he's gonna, like, sit down and, like, take up a lot of space. Or we can even get, like, really weird. Here comes a guy who's got, like, a hole in his chest, and you can shoot right through him, but he's blocking all the outside stuff.
I love that. Oh, I was about to say, too, well, I mean, that's really, really weird, but I love it. I was about to say just, like, a cat walks across the top shelf, and so, like, every turn...
Oh, perfect.
It blocks the rightmost bottle, and then, you know, in one to the left, and then in one to the left, and so on and so forth. And so...
Yeah, this would just be like a carnival game. Bottles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is great.
That's my idea in terms of, like, upping the difficulty and not just, like, shooting at random things. Where, I don't know if we want to give players the influence to have, I don't know, people to sit down. Maybe if there's some sort of mechanic that you can... Maybe if there's some sort of mechanic... Because there's different sort of levels of alcohol. Like, you can get your cheap beer, or you can get your expensive beer, or you can get your cheap whiskey or your expensive whiskey, and say that after you shoot an opponent's thing down, you get some money. You can spend that money to replace one of your cards with an expensive version of it, and then that would attract a customer to go buy that drink, and then they sit there for a certain amount of turns, blocking
your
bottle.
Yeah, in front of that drink. Yeah, that's really good. I love that. So are we still doing... Because I actually agree with you now. Are we still doing that with the die rolling to reload your gun or get more ammo? That's like to, I don't know, simulate your gun jamming or something like that?
Yeah, I'd kind of like to do that because then there's like, it's not just like the decisions that you make won't just be like shooting and just shooting.
Yeah.
I like there's some sort of maybe whatever we can find to like take a turn that won't involve shooting, or like there's definitely like a downside if you just keep like missing, or like if you reload like eight of these airsoft, I don't know, pellets is the only thing that I can think of, into a gun and you miss all eight, you shouldn't just be allowed to like reload it up to eight. Like there should be some sort of consequence for missing a whole bunch.
So wait. Are the players actually shooting a little tiny like spring gun that comes with the game?
I was thinking that, or if they just
Oh
made
man.
those classic rubber band guns.
No, I love that. Let's do it.
What were you thinking? Well, how were you thinking that they would shoot these things?
I didn't think that there was like a physical aspect at all. I thought it was like you just like said, I'm aiming for this thing, and then you roll and then shoot. I didn't think it was like a
Oh.
physical.
No, I'm thinking about like a cardboard cutout of like all of these things propped up, and it is like an arcade or like a carnival game where you have to shoot these things, but then as patrons come in, you have to put another cardboard cutout of like a person sitting in front of.
Yeah, blocking it.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay, this is great. This is a really good game. Well, all right then. Okay. More aspects that I was thinking. Maybe other things to buy since you introduced that kind of like light economy. Maybe you could buy a gun with more rounds so that you
Oh,
could
there you go.
stockpile. Yeah, you could stockpile more. Or like maybe you had a gun that, you know, quote unquote fires faster. I mean, this would be like end game, like stuff that would finish it, but you could fire
Yeah,
like
maybe you
two
could take like,
shots.
yeah, exactly, two shots a
Yeah.
turn.
Hot dang. Man, we really blazed through this one, but this is good. I love this.
Yeah, I mean, it was either that or make like the classic rubber band gun that we did in high school that shot pretty poorly. Or like, I mean, there's even like, and like these things don't shoot far. Like you're probably only
No,
gonna need
yeah.
to be like, probably gonna want to be standing only like 10 feet away from this thing. But you know,
Well,
it's just like a.
I'm imagining that the whole setup will be, yeah, like a vertical, maybe like 1 foot high little cardboard cutout thing that you can
Yeah.
place, that players get to place their cards on, and then maybe like a foot away, there's like a little mounted rubber band gun thing that you just, you know, point and shoot, and that's it.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Oh no,
Yeah.
yeah, it's like yeah, it should be mounted. I like that because then it's kind of like a stationary sort of aspect. So,
Yeah, makes it a little bit easier.
yeah. Okay, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah, once you play this game enough, the aiming aspect is like, you know, that's not really a thing, but it's the novelty of it. It's the fun of,
Yeah.
you know, the kapwang. And every time you shoot something, we'll have this is going to be an expensive box, but there'll be a little it'll play like the entertainer on a little sound device whenever you
Oh,
knock
it
something down.
should. Yeah, definitely we should make this like thing electronic, where yeah, battery's not included, and yeah, when you hit something, yeah, the entertainer will play, and then
Yeah.
you hear a little glass like sound effect breaking, and maybe some
Like a
cowboy
yeehaw.
talk. Yeah, something like,
Yeah.
I was gonna order that. And then
Tarnation.
well, dadgummit. And that would be it.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, and I'm sure for those listening, you could probably easily think of ways to make this an actual drinking game.
Oh yeah. Again, we're not gonna do that for you. We said we wouldn't, so we're not gonna.
No. We're not. We'll just include some extra pieces of paper at the end of the rule book so that you could write that kind of stuff down.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, that's for you. You're welcome.
I think all board games should do that, honestly, for like house rules. Wouldn't that be a cool idea at the end of every single board game instruction if there was a section that was just blank and it says house rules on it?
House rules, yeah.
And you could write that kind of stuff down.
What about like a notes section so like all game rules just had a little bit extra so like instead of like having to read through all the rules and then see the house rules at the end, like if there was a rule pertaining to something specific, it would just have like a little like box and you could be like, bang, house rule, there you go.
Yeah, that should be a standard for all board games.
Yeah. Come on, other companies.
Come on,
Step it
everyone
up.
else but us. We're great.
Yeah. All right, cool. We can obviously come up with more mechanics, but I feel like we're on the climax of naming this bad boy,
I
because
think we should, yeah, because I mean, the only thing I can actually think of is like people that are like in different kind of shapes and what else can get in your way of shooting. But I think we're pretty much already there, and I'm ready to name it.
perfect. I mean, yeah, so I said there's a classic song, 99 bottles of beer on the wall,
Oh,
but
I just, oh, it's 99 bottles
shoot.
of 99 bottles of beer on the draw.
Wow. Hot dang.
I mean,
do you want to change 99 bottles of the only thing I mean, I think honestly that's perfect, or at least I think that's like great. The only thing is that do we want to change beer at all?
Oh, yeah, we probably
just that it pertains more, but I don't think it has to, genuinely.
I think it's probably fine.
Yeah, 99 bottles of beer on the draw.
Yeah.
Hot dang.
I'm fine with that because then it's still also the reference.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right.
Easy.
Who goes first? Yeah, easy.
Who goes first? This one should not be shooting related or drinking related. Again.
Well, again.
You can put in house rules.
Yeah.
But the traditional way that we will put it, it'll involve something else.
Yeah. Do we want to go with kind of like that Western type trope of like, you know, when like any character, be it cowboy, bad guy, you know, main character, just clearly a large presence in a movie or a Western or something like that, like comes through the double doors and their spurs are clanging and they got their legs spread wide, and then they always deliver some kind of, you know, poignant one line or something like that.
We did do this last time with the one-liners for the buddy cop.
That's true.
We could do it again. I mean, both places do deliver one-liners, but
yeah.
I just want to say we did do that one very recently, like last episode.
Yeah. What if, like, you know how in like Westerns, all these like shootouts and stuff like that start when like they're playing cards and then like someone cheats? We could start or like make a really, really small, quick game where, yeah, you try to like cheat at cards or something like that.
Yeah.
And
six aces.
Yeah.
Seven aces.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's I like that idea. It should be something along the lines of like how well you can cheat at I don't know. Yeah. Does it just like how many cards can you fit up your sleeve or something like that, or like what is the game? And then number two, how are you trying to cheat it?
Well, okay. So the classic one is obviously poker, or like five card draw. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe what it is, yeah, it's like five card draw. Everyone draws cards or whatever, and you are trying to, you know what it should be? It'll be a little bit of randomness, but you can decide, like, it doesn't actually rely on sleight of hand. It'll be a little bit of luck, but it's like, let's say I have, four aces and a king in my hand, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go for five aces. So I put the king down, and I can choose to either draw from the top, the bottom, or just anywhere randomly in the deck.
Okay.
And everyone gets to do that once. And then
But everyone's going to be looking at you. Everyone's going to be like,
Oh, yeah, no, this isn't about actually getting away with it. It's just kind of the fun of acting like you're getting away with it.
Okay.
And then whoever's lucky enough to get, you know, the best hand. Because who knows? Maybe you put down the king and there are a couple of clunkers in that we, you know, put in the deck naturally. And bing, bang, boom.
What if it's like a fake deck of cards that it's like most of the cards in it, like if there's... I don't know, I'm just putting out a number. If there's 50 cards, 25 of them are aces, and the rest of them are different sort of face cards, and it's just who can get the most aces in their hand, and it is, like, a round of poker where... Or, like, you can... Can you trade it in poker? Can you... Is that a thing that...
Yeah, in five-card draw, there's one round, I believe, where you pick however many cards you want to trade in, and then you get that number of cards back.
Okay. So then it'd be like this. Is that you can actually trade in your cards and do that, but if you are sneaky enough... The only rule is that whoever has the most aces, if you're able to cusp one of your cards so that you actually pick up an additional card, you could have seven
rule.
Then. And then,
yeah,
and then
that's
trick
a really
everyone.
Good
and everyone's
rule.
Like, I got five aces. Like, when I was trading in, I actually got seven aces. So
that's.
But like most of them are tricky. Aces, and then other ones are there. And maybe there's like two decks. Maybe there's like a second deck so that not everyone's drawing at the same time. There's no actual order. You're just like. Picking up when you want to.
Yeah, and you're trying to not only pull off your scheme, but you're trying to catch other people.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing is that like maybe like if someone is drawing two aces or like after everyone is drawn, you can then declare who you think maybe like cheated or whatever, but if you're wrong, then
you discard your hand. Yeah,
out.
Then you're last.
Yeah, you're just out.
Yeah.
But if you're right, then they discard their hand.
Yep. Yep.
Oh man. Man, even this game sounds good.
I was going to say, so I like this. This should be the first way to do it. But if no one's able to to do well at this game, it should be whoever can do the best impression of a Wilhelm scream, and then that would be all right. Whoever goes first.
Oh, wait, and get ready for this. If in the first, you know, game of aces or whatever, if there's a draw, then you have to draw and, you know, you have to shoot it out or something like that.
Then you shoot each other, but we've only got one gun that's mounted.
No, it'd be like, I don't know, maybe you just try to, like...
Whoever can pull their finger guns out first, then that's...
No, I was saying, like, you literally set up the game, but just not... This is before the actual game, and you try to, like, shoot down as many of the bottles as you can in, like, a small amount of time.
Okay. Because
you have to reload the rubber band and everything like that. You got to be quick.
Okay, all right, I like that. I'm fine with that rule. That's a good addition.
Yeah, that's only
and
if there's a
draw. And the Wilhelm scream. If you don't want to
do it,
you
got to do it while you're shooting.
While you're shooting, if you can Wilhelm scream every single shot, then you could do that.
Your vocal cords will be busted, but it'll be worth it.
No talking afterwards.
Yeah. All right. 99 bottles of beer on the draw.
This is perfect.
Yeah. All right. We have been... Miss Dunn needs more games. You can find us on Twitter at PatchPotchRND. For any professional inquiries, we are PatchPotchLLC@gmail.com. To spell it all out, it is PatchPotch.
That's all correct. Yep. I have no other comments on that.
Spelling. Tweet at us. Do it.
At us. Let us know how you're feeling. You don't even need to give us a board game idea. You can just tip it up. You can respond to our question that we posed earlier. Well, that Nick posed earlier, which is, how are you?
Yeah,
I would love to know how you are.
Mm-hmm. And again, just to hammer this in every episode and all that good stuff, we really appreciate if you would share with your friends, share with your enemies, share with your acquaintances this podcast and tell them about how great we are and how amazing we come up with board games, because we appreciate it. Word of mouth.
Yeah, I agree. I think my brother's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. In this, in all things. No, just...
in many things. Oh, I'll say that.
Thanks. All right.
Would you like to do a sign-off?
I really don't have anything. You know what I've been thinking about this entire time, just or at least like intermittently while I've been thinking of a sign-off, is I've been thinking of Tombstone, but I can't think of
Tombstone,
any, like, Tombstone,
I'm so glad you know that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Did we talk about this before?
I mean, I don't know if we've talked about Tombstone on the podcast, but it's a dang good Western.
That's a movie that was a big college movie for... It was like Sunday morning, people waking up hungover, just like pop on Tombstone. It was, great movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if like it just caught on culturally as like a Western reference because it is... I mean, I think it's a good movie, don't get me wrong, but they kind of ham it up at parts, and I think that's what separates it from... a lot of like classic Westerns, but the bar that we used to go to in Columbus when we lived there, it would play Tombstone like every night. They
That's
had Tombstone.
Awesome.
Yeah, not all the TVs, but yeah,
I didn't have one every single night, but there was one. It was like a bar and pizza shop. They had on like the extended version of Tombstone, and I just went in there for a slice of pizza. But I was like, nah, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay. I'm getting another slice of pizza. I'm going to watch this movie.
Going to enjoy some Tombstone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't. I know. I've just been thinking about that movie, and I was just like, that's a good movie.
Well, here, I'll leave it at this.
Let's go.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
Oh, yeah. Bye, everybody.